Welcome back to Service Nodes, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of IT service management. Together, we explore the stories and experiences that shape our industry.
All right. Ken, why don't you give us your introduction, please?
Sure. Happy to do that. My name's Ken Gonzalez, often known by my nickname, Ken Gon. And it's pronounced that way, Ken Gon. It's like Ken Gon. I'm a lead analyst, lead advisor with a Pretty Simple Group, and I am really happy to be here.
Thank you so much. Jeffrey, do you want to go next, please?
My name is Jeffrey Tiefertiller. I am the founder of Service Management Leadership. I'm a big service management nerd, and I enjoy these conversations. So thank you for inviting me.
You are very welcome. And last, not but least, Sharina, please.
Thanks, Reena, for inviting me. I'm Sharina Job. I'm from Toronto, Canada, working for Bank of Montreal, leading the technology change and automation team. It's a pleasure to be with Jeffrey Tiller, the ITSM guru we all know, and of course, Ken Gon. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So without any further delay, I would love to just get us into the discussion section. So I guess my first question would be, ladies first, Sharina, to you. What's the one thing about IT service management that always makes you smile?
I think it's that binding factor. We bind IT with the technology. We are that team who is able to put things, everything in the right place. We are that gatekeeping team, make sure that the customers are able to enjoy the seamless services while technology teams are working hard behind the scenes. So that is one thing that makes me smile every day.
Thank you. You probably love what you do.
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Jeffrey, to yourself, what's your go-to tech fail story that still makes you laugh?
Tech fail story? There are so many, so many. And we could talk about CrowdStrike that just happened, right? We could talk about all the other ones. But there was one when I was at KPMG, and you all might like this story. Before I took over, they had 11, during busy season, which is the first 100 days of the year, they had 11,000 lost hours of productivity by their Indian teams because they would put forth changes to VDI and VPN thinking, well, that doesn't affect us in the US without any regard for the people in India that are doing the work. So I put in a change frost. And, you know, hey, we can do this as long as your executive director signs off. We all have skin in the game. And we had that under, we were tracking for like 100 lost hours. And there was one person from 11,000 to 100 is a lot. Big difference. Stay over, you're talking $150 an hour times however much. And there was a guy who put in a VPN change on a Tuesday night, and we lost like 1,000 lost hours that day. And I was like, what are you doing? He goes, I thought it was okay because it wasn't during our day. And I was like, when do you think the people in India are working? And you know, it was just one of those, like, it makes me laugh because my head was about to, you know, you all can imagine my head was about to explode. But it's those sort of things that nobody ever explained to that person. Here's why we're doing this. You know, here's why. And so most of the things that make me chuckle are the here's why that nobody ever told someone.
Yeah, I guess it may be out of sight, out of mind, because they don't sit in the same office. Like, yeah, we don't have to think about that, right? Yeah, kind of situation. I know. Well, I'm glad you can laugh about it, because I'm sure probably when it actually happened, it wasn't quite comic.
Yeah. True.
Okay. Thank you. I guess, Ken, my first question to you is, if you could assign a theme song to your career journey so far, what would it be? And I would like you to sing it, please. If you think you're a good singer.
No, well, actually, I am a good singer. And
let's see,
what would my theme song be? That's tough. Because for the most part, a lot of songs are organized around happy things, not necessarily, or maybe relationship loss. But how about the love boat soon will be making another run?
Nice, nice. Yeah, you are a good singer. I was gonna give you some options to select from, and I thought the Taylor Swift song, "It's Me." Have you heard that?
I know I've heard it, but only once or twice.
I know it's kind of funny because I know, like, there was one team I used to work for, and when something goes wrong, the person goes, "Yeah, it's me." It's like just kind of light way to say, yeah, we don't want to point finger. I'll just take the blame for it. Yeah, it was so funny. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Now let's go into kind of like service management. I'm sure when I speak to my guests, it's always like when I ask them, how did you get into this field? Sometimes it's just, I would say 95% of the time people have told me it's accidental. No one went around looking for service management. Kind of happened. So, I would like to kind of ask you guys, like, how do you've been in this industry, like between us, I think we have like 100 plus years of experience looking at how long we've been in this industry. So how do you, like, what advice would you give someone, or how do you actually tell a team or an organization, how do you manage the balance between constant change while still keeping the focus on strong service mindset? And any one of you can take this question, by the way. Who would like to go first?
The two things that I'm always reminded of are, no matter how bad we think our organization is, there are others that are less mature, or we always assume everybody's very mature. And the other piece, and so there's always growth opportunities. And I'm frequently run into these organizations that struggle, that the things we complain about would be the things they would love for. And so But I would just say that it's a progress, it's a trajectory, and how do we just gain momentum on that trajectory to do great work?
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's a fair point. But, like, sort of like, I feel like in technology, like, things are moving so fast. When you have like a discussion with someone to say, you might want to think about SLA and you want to think about break fix. And, I think some of those discussions are like somewhat puzzled. I don't think like everyone quite understands the importance of it, right? So
But then
what would you tell them?
but there are like three quarters of the organizations that don't know the difference between an incident and an event. And I would just say that, we complain about that, but I would tell them that they need to get on the path and then figure out how fast, because being from the sideline, you're always going to miss the technology boat. You're always so. It doesn't matter what tool set you use. It doesn't matter a lot of things, but you need great people and you need to equip them, because you are not going to keep up with technology without great people or a great process. I mean, because it's just going to spin so fast on you.
Yeah, good answer. Thank you. My next question is, like, what's the one misconception about IT service management you wish more people understood?
Think probably I can take that
Sure.
from a change side. Often IT service management is considered as that team that slows things down, that slows the work. We stop things, we reject things. So to the world who are into the agile evangelization, all I have to say is you need to be in the game. You need to be able to deliver what the customer needs, be competitive, have a competitive mindset compared to your peers, but make sure there is a quality, a compliance along with it. So it's a journey where you balance quality, you balance a deliverable so that we provide a seamless service to the customer. So IT service management is that field that can adopt and adapt the best practices that fits to your company, provided you have the right mindset of the culture with the right people. And so I feel it's a very value add to the agile world, and we complement it. And ITIL 4 has been introduced for that purpose, where they introduced or infused a little bit of agile framework into ITIL to make the DevOps concept. So I think I love that fact of ITIL, and I hope this misconception is being taken away as soon as possible.
Yeah, no, that's a very good answer. I remember seeing one post on LinkedIn once someone wrote, and I think it was like a picture of a gladiator movie. And I think what the person was trying to depict there was, you know, sometimes we complain that, oh, other people don't get it. Other people don't get it. But sometimes it's the responsibility is ours. As a service management professional, we need to champion, we need to advocate, we need to be proactive on their face, continuously repeating the message over and over again. And eventually it will land, I think. I mean, that's been my experience.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of, if I could add a little more, there are a lot of live examples of ITIL, right? So, for example, I am working in the change side of the technology, primarily change release configuration. And one of the right analogy is the border customs of any country. If you look at it, ICAB is a border customs. And I think, Rina, once we touched earlier, I spoke about it, like any change that comes to you, it's like a passenger coming, you know, to that country, to the border customs officer. You validate the authenticity of the travel, you validate the travel history, the risk of the traveler before entering the country, and you give a green signal. That's a ICAB approval, right? And the same way, the release of the package is like the suitcase or your luggage that comes in with the thing. So you have to be mindful of what you're carrying in the release so that whatever you're approving the change is a successful release. So sometimes, you know, in order to bring that connection, I try to give practical examples to people, so that way they can connect to and say, oh, this is the reason why we're doing things.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. I mean, I guess I have never thought it like that, but a really good, simple example many people can relate to and understand why we need cab. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Sharina. Okay. Well, my next question is, what role do you see AI playing in the future of service management? And needless to say, Ken, would you mind taking this one, please?
I would not mind taking that one at
Thank
all.
you.
I think that the role that AI is going to play in service management moving forward is one that is around being able to take and make automation a lot easier, a lot more straightforward. So the first piece of that is that there's a lot of repetitive tasks that people do. And instead of actually focusing, oh, I need to get trained in order to do the repetitive task, well, you might need to know the underlying concept on how to actually do the task. That doesn't mean that you have to do all of the things, especially if it's tedious and there's like 1,000 records or something that you need to handle. Why not take something that's a low value but high intensity activity? And have something else be responsible for doing it. And then you can actually go quality check it, ensure that it was actually done properly. So I think that there's a value to be gained from anybody that's doing operational level or support work to be able to be sure that that work is getting done and it's supervised. So in a sense, it's a bit of human in the loop because you're not absolving yourself of the responsibility for watching it happen. But you are taking the manual component of it, the drudgery of it, and you're removing that from the equation. And that will actually help people that are responsible for doing the work, or in the organization, that is, spend time on value-added tasks. Going back to one of the things that it was an earlier question that you asked about, one of the things I really appreciate about people that are engaged in IT service management is that for the most part, the thing I found is people really want to do good things and help people almost across the board. They want to be helpful. They want to serve. So the things that actually take up their time, if you're not engaged in serving, what are you engaged in? Probably some low-level drudgery that you would rather get off your table anyway. And I think that this is this first area that we have the opportunity to be able to deal with around automation. And the second is understanding information. We have more access to data than we have time, money, or attention to be able to sort through. Why not use AI tools to help us go through and analyze large buckets of data, number one, to make better sense of it and to help us make better decisions? I'm not saying it's the be all end all in that, but if we can actually have it help to cull out some insights for us, that we can actually go and use our reasoning, use our knowledge and experience to go through and validate and make sure that it's, getting us in the right direction where we need to be, either as an individual contributor or as an organization serving people. That's undoubtedly going to help us. And the second piece on the data front is oftentimes we believe that we're doing data-based decision making, but more than likely it's probably Kentucky Windage. And the reason is because we probably don't have all the information we need, all the data sources that would be required in order to be able to think through a specific issue or topic. So there's going to be gaps in data. We want to identify the gaps and then be able to now implement strategies which actually help us get the raw data we need to build a more complete picture that both us as well as the tools we're using can help make better sense of.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great answer. And kind of it touches on the, I was looking at like top 10 trends in service management, like and AI, machine learning, predictive analysis, data analysis. It's kind of like top four, and then customer experience is number five. So sometime I do have a question, and kind of like, you wander around going on different webinar or perhaps taking this certificate. Like Google has so many free AI cert classes you can take. And I find like it's so overwhelming. I wonder if there is a company out there who has successfully say, okay, we are able to leverage AI in service management, and this is what we have done. Have you heard of such companies, such examples? And would you mind sharing those, please?
Well, so it's interesting because the thing that we're seeing right now in the marketplace is it's pretty much being vendor driven. So everybody's in a rush to add AI and generative AI to their tools. And I'm not against this. I actually think to the extent that you can actually help make the person's experience who's actually doing the work better, great, go do that. But the is the intent behind the development of that functionality something which is really about helping make people's lives better, make doing the job easier? Or is it something which is more along the lines of, hey, we need to be in the game, so I need to stick a new feature in. Or I can't miss the wave. I got to do it now. I think the jury's out. And one of the last pieces of research that the Gartner crew did on the AI apps for IT service management, I think that's an interesting piece of research, and I'm going to actually be watching that as it unfolds over the course of the next few years, because I think that they were just kind of getting their sea legs to see, well, what are people doing? How are they using this at an operational and functional level to help make people's lives easier and be able to do the job more effectively? But I think that we're still pretty far away from being able to have a reliable foundation that customers could actually go through and look at the tools and say, yeah, that's exactly the thing that I need.
Yeah, no, thank you. I think that's a very valid point. And I do feel personally that when you read information in the media, or like I think recently there was a shooting in NYC with the CEO of UnitedHealthcare. I don't know
Yes.
if you guys read. And I think there is an aspect of AI playing a role here. Supposedly, I don't know if it's true or not, but they implemented something with AI to decline people's claims. And that has angered people and whatnot. So we don't know. It could all just be speculation at this point. However, I feel there is some negative connotation right now, like, oh, companies are using AI to get rid of the people or reduce the workforce, or they won't need humans. So I'm very interested to see, like, where is this going to land in AI in service management space? Like, is it going to increase? Actually, I think it's going to increase our jobs, actually. That's how I see it from service management perspective. But we'll see. Jeffrey, I know you wanted to add something. Go ahead.
I was going to say two things. There are companies out there to combine both Ken and Serena. There are companies out there that have AI that go through change requests and incidents and apply a percentage. This change has a 83% chance of success. So those tools are already out there. And there are more tools trying to get into that marketplace. And the one I'm thinking of, Serena's company may have just because they're big in the financial world. But then there's also some new ITSM tools, like there's one out of India called Atomic Works that is based on AI. And so it's more than, I don't know if it's just shiny, like what Ken was saying, hey, we got something, we make it AI, but I do think that there's a way to crunch our service management data and make it better, whether it's knowledge base, whether it's incident tickets or change requests. You know, the organizations that have large amounts of that data, it could really benefit versus a human going back through. Think about how it would help problem management, doing root cause, that
Yeah.
sort of thing.
And if
Yeah,
I
no.
could add to that,
Sure.
what Jeffrey said and Ken said, great insights, Ken, on about that repetitive work. And if I could share a simple example, probably it's not AI, but how we kind of automated the CAP follow-up. You know, the change, we all know that when it comes to CAP forum, it's not in its good entirety qualified change request. And we need to constantly follow up with the team members. Sometimes it's with the release team, project managers. Sometimes it could be with the counterparts in the like product owners and product managers. So what we used is the Microsoft Simple, the Power Automate tool, sending triggering automation follow-ups to them, asking them to get the CAP agenda ready by XYZ time, if that is a cutoff date for us to review things. And then any change that is not qualified with missing information, it sends a notification to those change requesters. And then those changes which are pre-qualified and really great and everything is good, then we pre-approve them before the CAP quorum. So they know the status of their changes, which is triggered to Power Automate. So pretty much, I think I leverage, I think, a good part of Power Automate to automate all the reminders and status. And coming to the proactive, the predictive analysis about these patterns of incidents and problems, that would help us to have that mindset to be cautious when you implement changes, releases, and stuff. So, we learn from our mistakes. So what instance happens if you see a particular trend, and if you look at the root cause, the underlying root cause, then you know where to fix. Probably it is 3 steps for earlier in the stage. Maybe there was a missing configuration or environment disparity that happened in the earlier environments that caused an issue in the production. So I think it's great what Ken said, that we need to look at those insights in volume using probably AWS data lakes. The code whisperers from AWS helps us to evaluate the code. So the quality of the code is good. That means release is successful. If release is successful, the change governance is successful, and we have less incidents, right? So I think I look at AI from a positive perspective, lots to upgrade, but I don't think it takes a job, but it shifts our job to a more quality-oriented skill set. That's what I see from an AI perspective.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I mean, I it's no secret everything's so mucky right now, especially like the whole the chatbots. Like a lot of companies like, yeah, we don't need service desk or we don't need customer service representative. We can just have this chat, and it's absolutely horrific. I don't think so far. I mean, except Amazon. I think Amazon is very good at that, even before AI. But I don't think I have ever had a chat experience where any company has able to resolve my problem without me talking to human. Now, it could be I have a very complex issues or they just have absolute crap. But do you have any good examples that you can share where you had like a best service management experience that you have not delivered, but you have experienced from your vendor or an organization?
No, because most organizations have poor knowledge management that support that.
Yeah, Ken? Sharina?
To an extent, I agree with Jeffrey. It's about building that knowledge base to support, and you should have that know-how or the background, right? So I think there are some places where I've been, where I'm part of, we progressively learn from our failures. There's one organization where I've worked a good number of years in the oil industry, where we learn from our failed implementations and the failed way of taking processes approach, and then we learn from it. So I think if you fail fast and you learn fast from it, that is a success that I've joined. But I agree with you that the bots can never solve your problem. A human needs always a human touch, and that makes a difference. It can enable it, but it can't solve your problem.
Yeah, good point. Ken, did you want to add something?
The only thing I would add is that, and this is a common, I think, shortcoming I find with people that are engaged in ITSM, is that we draw distinctions between employees and customers. And I think that can be really hazardous. Because the thing I want to see is that people are actually, whatever you do, you're always there's always going to be a relationship of producer consumer. And I'm doing some work on this in the start of the new year, but the everybody serves somebody. That's ultimately kind of like my fundamental proposition here. And if you're truly focused on being able to serve whoever it is that you're responsible for serving, that's going to set you up to have a certain range of things that you can and should do, like the foundation for why you would take an action, why you would want to change, why you would want a new piece of technology. And I'm not saying get rid of technology by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that first and foremost, we have to be oriented around getting people the outcomes that they need so that they can do the things that they need to do. That's why we exist, right? So this is the if you use that as an organizing principle and everybody else in the delivery, the development, and the operational chain is now lined up with that, you're going to get better outcomes because you're going to start making decisions which actually support why you're doing what you're doing. It's not going to be about, oh, well, that's because we have a policy, or no, that's because what the technology requires. You're going to start to shed all the stuff that doesn't directly contribute to helping people and showing that you actually care that people are impacted negatively by a change or an issue.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point. And I guess maybe part of the responsibility lies with the company leadership. Because recently, like last month, I was trying to get some medical records from different organizations. And when you contact large organization who has like, multinational presence, it's a very laborious process where very laborious Word document form, they email you, you fill it out, half the things doesn't make sense, and you sign so many things and you send it back and they're like, you'll hear from 2 weeks and we will post it to you, et cetera, et cetera. And some small clinics who might just do X-ray or, blood work, this, that, and you call, yeah, what's your email? Okay, dang, dang, dang. Within an hour, you got it. I'm like, isn't this all this private data? If this guy could do this so fast, how come the other people are not doing it? But yeah, I think it lies with the organization. Yeah, it's kind of another example, like the example of automation. I make a lot of appointment for my daughter. She has epilepsy, so she kind of quite frequently sees doctor. So Northwell Health introduced a new appointment on the phone. So it says, we've got this thing, and you can do press one and make an appointment. And every time you press one, they're like, we now need you to talk to human. I'm like, what? You just said you got this new. I'm like, I really want to write to Northwell executive and say, you need to fix this thing because it's so annoying. Like, you're just setting the wrong expectation. Like, customer thinks, I'll get this done so fast. And then next thing is, you now need to talk to humans. So, yeah, that's so funny. Anyway. My next question is, so obviously there's a lot of trend on customer experience right now. What role does service management plays when it comes to customer experience? Especially when they're not serving directly to the customer, but it's kind of like the infrastructure and the technology they manage is serving it to their customers. And do you think it can make or break your business?
Well, I'll take that one because I started on, with answering the previous question. One thing I've been very concerned about is, so if you're really concerned about customer experience and reducing the sources of friction that people have to contend with in order to do the things that they need to do, it doesn't matter whether you're a public, private, or not-for-profit institution. Every organization has a mission, right? And people will engage with you in order to do the things that why you exist. So if you have employees who are serving, and I use the term employee generally, like somebody in the organization that now serves the end person, if you have an employee who's using technology and systems that are buggy, not highly available, or don't perform well, are really designed so that it's confusing, you're not sure what to do, like how the flow of work should be. These things negatively impact the employee experience and end up causing them friction and grief where they're like, oh my God, I really can't stand it here. And whether you like it or not, as the level of stress and dissatisfaction builds over time, you're going to get that on the customer that you're actually trying to serve. Some people hit that breaking point a lot quicker than others. But fact of the matter is, we need to be actively engaged in trying to listen to what they need, find out where the friction is, find out where the rough edges are, and get rid of them so that they can have a more stress-free existence and do a better job of serving the people they're out to serving. Each of us who's in the chain has some responsibility to the overall. But most of the time, I actually find a lot of us, especially in ITSM, will think of it more along like, well, my role is X, and be, have blinkers on as to, I want to stay focused on my thing, or some variation on that theme. That does not help us ensure that the employee is getting what they need and reducing that friction, removing those obstacles to getting stuff done.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. And Jeffrey, I wanted to ask you because I think you recently posted on LinkedIn about if I give you a great camera or some like top of the range camera, will you take good photos? Kind of goes back to that, right? Like, what would you say in order to deliver a great customer service? How do you equip the people who work for the company? Do you give them all a great camera and they will produce fantastic pictures? Or
I think we have fallen into, and I think that's kind of where Ken was poking at. I'm giving him credit, that the technology will solve all the problem, not the people. And Ken helped me on my, as a thought partner on my last book. But to build on Ken's point a little more, I think everybody and every piece has to understand how they fit into that service that impacts that customer, right? And so then we trace it back, all the process and all the underlying services that support that service that the customer, receives. And so we need to understand it from that point of view. I think most of the times when someone in IT is far enough removed from the end customer, they lose sight of that. Nobody's explained to them that, hey, if your database goes down for an hour, it impacts our customers in this way. We haven't drawn those clear defined, and that's why I think of service delivery as an end-to-end thing, maybe different than most people, like with SLAs and all that fun stuff. But I think where it gets into the camera arena, if I may, we think, oh, we have great tools that support that customer. Okay. But has anybody laid out those tools and what people are needed and all of that all the way back? Because think about if you go to, I always love food. I'm built like I love food. And we go into our favorite restaurant that has counter service. We order. Think about everything that goes into that order. Who made the, who brought the, where they buy the food, who's preparing it, the experience of the cash, the person at the cash register, the cleanliness, the loudness of the music, all that goes into our experience. And unless that restaurateur takes it all the way back and looks at all those touch points of experience, they will not understand. And so a lot of times we in IT, sorry for going on and on, but I'm pretty passionate about this. We in IT are the chef behind there saying, your experience should be X, which is ludicrous to think about. It's the person walking through the door is the only one that can state what their experience really is. And so hopefully I answered your question well there, Rena.
Oh, you absolutely did. Yeah, no, you absolutely did. And I think you kind of added around, it's not just about having just fantastic tools because, you know, you can give me like top of the range Canon, but if I don't know how to operate or there's no manual behind it or I don't even understand what the purpose of that thing is, I wouldn't know what to do with it. And I think sometimes organizations do make those kind of mistakes, just, you know, throw tools out there. Like, you know, I've seen organization where they have like 10 plus tools to do project management and like pick and choose whatever you like. And there's no consistency when they do the project management reporting. And it's like, yeah, I don't know who's responsible for this kind of mess. I don't know. I don't try to solve it. I just pick one and stick to it and say, this is how I'm gonna do my project management. But yeah, no, you did. Thank you so much. Okay. So I've got some fun questions. And I'll start with Sharina. Sharina, what's your favorite tech tool right now?
Favorite tech tool is ServiceNow. That's my kind of the go-to place.
Go to place. Okay. Ken, for you, best way to spend your weekend, unplugged or reading?
Unplugged and making music.
Making music. Nice, nice. What kind of music do you make?
Well, I'm a guitarist and singer, so I am a part-time working guitarist here in the Portland area. So I love being out and playing at restaurants, farmers markets, private events, anywhere that I can actually do that. I'm fluent in a number of different styles, and I like choosing material that people would say, "Wow, I haven't heard that in a long time, and I really like it." So.
Wow. No, brilliant. I mean, that means you're like your technology and you're creative and artistic. Rare
Absolutely.
combination. Rare, but wow. Well, if I'm in
And
Portland
maybe
and
we
it.
need, sorry,
No, go
hurry.
ahead.
I
No,
was
go
just
ahead.
saying that probably soon we need to hear from you a service management song, a lyrics with all the processes together.
Oh, don't tempt me.
Yeah. Oh, you absolutely should do that. You absolutely should do that. You know, it's much needed. And we can get rid of the misconception.
Exactly. And we could do the chorus part, though. We're not great singers, but we could do the chorus part for you.
As long as you're having fun, it doesn't matter whether you're a great singer or not.
Oh, for sure. All
Got
for it. All for it.
it. Yeah, we are counting on you, Ken. Now we are counting on you. Okay. Jeffrey, one for you. A phrase or buzzword in IT you wish that could disappear forever.
Oh my. Oh my. Now I'm going to make people mad, and I really don't mean it. It's the big A agile, because too many organizations want to do agile, but don't want to be agile. And if you are thrown around the term agile, you want to be agile. It's not something you do. You don't wake up one day and say, "I'm agile." You do things that in an iterative way. And so I don't mean to offend people, but it must shape how we think and how we do things.
Maybe they need manifesto.
Maybe, maybe.
Yes.
A virtual cheers to you, Chen. I'm of the same mindset that you have to first be agile in your mindset before you start jumping to be agile, you know?
Yeah. No, good. Okay. This is the question I'm gonna ask each one of you. Okay. If you were not doing service management, what would you be doing, Sharina?
I would definitely be part of the border customs. I love it.
That explains your example for change management. So it's come from the place of passion rather than.
When I look at that series, I'm not sure if you have ever watched that series called Border,
No.
and amazing like how they question, they interrogate the passengers and try to unveil the risk. And you will be like looking at the person very normal and no risk at all. But as you start questioning and interrogating, the facial expression changes, they start sweating, and then you see they were a high-risk passenger. I'm like, so every time I'm in the cab, the song that I play is like the Sia, Unstoppable by Sia. I put on my armor on and I start questioning.
I don't want to be in your cab. I don't want to be in your cab because I can
Front
imagine I have to come like
door.
fully prepared. No, absolutely. I'm joking, but I guess
Yeah.
you're just asking people to come fully prepared with the genuine interest, right? It's like, yeah, don't try to fool me here because I'll catch you. Yeah, good one. Good one. Ken, what would you be doing if you're not doing service management? You're on mute.
Sorry. I would be making music. As a
Making
matter of fact,
music.
my re ideal retirement gig would be I would like to be living on a tropical island, playing at resorts.
Okay, that's cool. You know, I think Sharina, Jeffrey, we have to get Ken into one of those service management conference, and he has to play for it, and we need to sell tickets to watch him play and sing.
Sure. Yeah. Ken, we are waiting for that anthem,
Yeah.
service management anthem.
2025. We're gonna work on that. We're
You
gonna
book
work
it,
on it.
I'll do it.
We'll
I
do
know the
it.
song, Ken. So you know how they have the items on the whatever chart where like iron, selenium, that song. Have you heard that song where it's
No,
they go
I haven't.
through all of the, I'll
Periodic
send it
table?
to you.
Periodic
Yeah,
table,
the
yeah.
periodic
Periodic
table,
table.
and somebody lists them all. I can hear the chorus like change management, incident management, problem
I
management, you know, all the way through.
was say, yeah, the funny, I was thinking like, bye, MCA. And he kept, incident problem.
Awesome.
I can write the lyrics, you make the music, and Sharina and Jeffrey will sort out the show. Oh God, we got to do this. Honestly, it will be so much fun.
I'm
Okay.
in.
Yeah, good. Okay, last, Jeffrey, if you weren't doing service management, what would you be doing?
I would probably be, because I love to learn, I love to grow. I'd probably be a college professor. I teach adjunct. I enjoy it. I feel like I'm at a spot in my career that I like giving back to and helping people on their journey. Maybe because no one really helped me in my journey, you know, and I figured things out. And so I'd like to help people on their journey, especially early career. Maybe it's thinking through career choices, how technology would impact them. My daughter's an accounting student, and those are great conversations, right? Should she be afraid of AI, or should she embrace it because it's going to be a great leverage, a tool to leverage? And so I would probably do that.
Yeah, no, good. Well, I guess everyone has a backup plan. Should the AI take over? Okay. Last but not least, if you could, I could leave the audience with one single takeaway from today's conversation, what would it be? Sharina, would you mind going first, please?
Yeah, I think it's that one thing is together we make a difference. We all come with different skill sets, but we have that common, motto to make things better, things makes more streamlined, more compliant, more easy, that the total experience for the customers. So I believe that mindset is there together with the skill set experience, we are going to make the difference, and that makes it a better place.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you. Ken, for you?
I would say that the nature of work is changing. It doesn't matter what area you're in. So if the nature of work is changing, we cannot operate with the assumption that we're just going to continue to do what we're doing day after day, year after year. We need to be looking forward and anticipating the changes that are going to come and start working on retooling ourselves now. This is not a wait until tomorrow. This is a no. Get off your duff, start looking, and start getting yourself engaged with whatever it takes to start pointing towards what that new future is.
Yeah, no, good points. And especially in technology and our field. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Jeffrey, with you.
To build on their 2 points, change is happening faster than ever before. You know, gone are the waterfall projects that would take a year. Now, leaders are afraid because we don't know what's going to happen 3 months from now. You know, like the new technology's coming, the way we leverage AI, whether it's in a chat GPT form or like what we were talking about in service management. I would say, since we know the rates of change are coming, to build upon Ken's point, we must be not like early adopters, but we have to have an open mind of how can I leverage this for my organization, and how can we pick up speed? How can we pick up momentum? Because there will be people left behind that just do not want to deal with that. And so how can we help equip people for that constant change? Because it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough on the mindsets of many people who like the status quo.
Yeah, no, definitely. Unless you wanna retire to tropical island and play music, then you need to be least bothered. No, I mean, the reason I mentioned, because I was in India for like a month, almost a month, and I have to say I was not bothered by AI or technology or what's coming. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is such a different world. So yeah, it's kind of it's funny, depending on where you are. Definitely in America, Canada, the workforce is very much AI and what we can do with it. But if you move outside of that, it's kind of not the same vibe, very different. So anyway, this kind of like ends our panel interview. Thank you so much for jumping on the call with me. I know it was very impromptu, like it was like just pinging message and say, hey guys, do you want to do this end of the year kind of service management wrap? So I really appreciate your time and your honest and candid answer. So thank you.
Thank you.
That's a wrap for today's episode. Huge thanks to Jeffrey, Sharina, and Kangon for the insights, laugh, and sneak peek into Service Management Musical. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. If you've got any questions, feedback, or ideas for future episode, I would love to hear from you. Reach out to me via LinkedIn, Rina Brambat, or you can always drop me an email at rina.brambat@24trainings.com. Alternatively, you can also share your comments on our show notes on the podcast website. Let's keep the conversation going, and don't forget to subscribe to Service Notes so you never miss an episode. Until next time, stay well and take care. This episode of Service Notes is sponsored by 24 Trainings. Check out their service management training classes at www.24trainings.com.